Let us be seated as we pray. Holy God, we praise your name. You are the strength of your people, and we are so grateful, Lord, for the gift of your presence and your power within us. And Lord, as we prepare to step into the new year, we ask that you would impart to us in great measure the gift of faith as we trust in you, that we would know with all realization and understanding that you are truly with us, our Emmanuel, and that with you all things are possible. We ask, Lord God, that there is no space between us, that to the measure that you are with us, that we are with you. Lord, let this be our prayer. In this time of new beginnings, and in this time of letting go of old things, we come to you, Lord God, with all that we are. We ask you to fill all of our empty spaces. And we thank you that you do. You fill them with hope and equipping. You are truly our strength and our song. You are the king of our hearts. We love you, O Lord, and we bless your name. And this day, we pray with joy for the First United Pentecostal Church. We thank you, God, for their life in our community and the life you live through them. Lord, this morning as they gather to worship you, we thank you that you are with them and that you are mighty to save. We thank you that your presence and your Holy Spirit power is filling their worship space. We thank you, God, for the holy fire in them, for their love for you and for your word and for your people. Lord, we truly ask for your kingdom to come. We want to live with expectation, Lord, that it's coming here on earth as it is in heaven. Would you make it so, Jesus, in your strong name? We thank you that we get to come to you with everything on our heart and soul. We thank you, Jesus, for coming so humbly as a baby and living among us. Thank you for teaching us how to pray, how to live, and how to love. It is only with you we can say it is well with our soul. Let us pray the prayer, Jesus, you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Morning, everybody. It's 72 degrees somewhere, not here. But I heard that Duluth, Minnesota has negative 25 degrees chill factor today. So we're grateful, aren't we? We're blessed. Thank you so much for coming out and being here this morning. Hey, I wonder if we might all just take a deep breath. Can we do that? Let's take a deep breath. How about one more just for good measure, okay? It's been quite a Christmas season, hasn't it? But you know, you can get so spun up about Christmas that you can look back over the month and go, where did that month go? Or is anybody sitting here today going, where did 2017 go? You know, there may even be a few who are going, where did this last decade go? I mean, we are really spun up. Time marches on so very quickly. And it's just so easy for us to get caught up in those things that we truly miss the moment. And I love this story that comes from our congregation. A little four-year-old in our congregation was driving around town with her mom, and they were looking at all the beautiful Christmas scenes in the churches and in the lawns where there were, like, displays of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and the manger and all. And so this little one says, hey, Mom, there's one of those Jesus things. Don't you love that? There's one of those Jesus things. And the mom says, well, we call that a nativity. And the little one says, no, well, I call that an activity. And I love that. When you look through the eyes of the child, you see the world so differently. And, you know, if we come to this place and there isn't some activity on our behalf, we've missed the message. We've really missed Christmas if it doesn't call for some kind of response from us. So in just a few minutes, we're going to take one last look at the nativity and see what kind of activity it may call us to. We're going to be talking about the past and the future today, and it seems like a really good thing to do as we stand here on the edge of a brand new year that is coming up on us very quickly. But first, let's pray together. God, would you bring a fresh wind and a fresh faith and a fresh fire in us? Would you spark something beautiful in us, Lord, that perhaps was not there before? Would you open our hearts to the possibilities of what you would have us pursue in the days and the years ahead? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, there certainly has been a lot of activity around the nativity these past few weeks. We've spoken of Mary and her interaction with Jesus. We spoke of the wise men and their interaction with Jesus. And we spoke about the shepherds and their wise men, their interaction with Jesus. And we spoke about Joseph and his interaction with his son, Jesus. And it all orbits around the Christ child. He's the center of our story and of our affections. But we want to take one last look at the story of the nativity today. And I want to look once again through the wise men's encounter. This is where the activity, I think, would lead us this morning in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in the 7th verse. And to set this up, there's a reigning king. His name is Herod. He's kind of full of himself. And when the wise men come and say, we've seen the star of a newborn king, he's offended because there's nothing that offends a reigning old king like the potential that a new king could come and take his place. And so that's what's behind the scene here. And the scripture then tells us, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And they had a gut reaction that he was not being sincere. After they had heard this, the king went on their, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then I'd invite us just to read this last verse together. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Is it route or route? Because I don't know. Last night I said route and I heard route, so Is it Missouri or Missouri? No, we don't have time for that today. Have you ever been in your car? You think you're headed in the right direction only to discover that Siri has to reroute you? Like you're on a country road and you have to be rerouted, or you're in a big city and you get rerouted, or you just are lost and you need to be rerouted. How many of us could say we've taken the scenic route to something, somewhere, only to discover that it wasn't all that scenic? That's what's happening with these wise men. They're being redirected by the Spirit of God through a dream. And I love that this dream has come to them from God. You got to take a different direction, God says. Because you know what? If they go back to Herod, this story ends up tragically different than what we know it to be. Isn't it beautiful that what happens in Bethlehem doesn't stay in Bethlehem? We would have never known. But God speaks to them in a dream. In the scriptures, there are many times that God speaks to people in the dreams. In Old Testament, God speaks to Joseph and his cellmates in a dream. In this story, he speaks to the wise men in dreams. And then he speaks to Joseph, the dad of Jesus, in a dream about going to Egypt because it's not safe for them to stay here. And he will speak to them again in a dream, saying, come on back, it's safe now. Could I ask you, would you be open in this new year to the dreams that God might speak into your heart? Would you be open to that? Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm not asking you to stand up. I don't want you to say anything. I just want you in your spirit to think about, would I be open to the possibility that God might speak to me in a dream? Now, not every dream that you have comes from God. Sometimes it's the bad pizza you had the night before. But if God is speaking, perhaps there is some sense that we ought to take note and to listen. Now, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is given as a gift and the church is born, these are the words that are spoken out of Joel chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on, what's the next two words? All people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Now, prophesy is just a fancy Bible word for preach about the future, okay? They'll talk about that. They'll share that. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And what did we say that was? It is preaching about the future. Now, what's the difference between a dream and a vision? Thanks for asking. A dream happens in a relatively short period of time. It happens in a season in our life. Sometimes there's some urgency to it, like Joseph, you got to get Jesus and Mary out of here because they're in trouble. A vision, on the other hand, has a long course. It may happen beyond our own lifetime. That's why it says young people will have the visions and old guys and gals will have dreams. Now, the great cathedrals of Europe were built by visionaries who had no possibility of thinking that they would see it to completion. They simply added their part in the day in which they lived, anticipating that the next group would pick it up and carry it forward. And you know, some of us are in the season of our life to begin thinking about what God is going to do beyond our living here in these days, and entrust this and pass it on to the next generations. And you know what? We've got a great generation coming in and working, and to whom we will hand off ministry and life. That next generation needs our prayers and our love and our support. And if you're part of that generation, God may be planting a vision inside of you that will last beyond your lifetime. So just as I ask about, would you be open to the possibility that God has a dream that he would plant in your heart, would you also be open to the possibility that God has a vision that might last beyond the lifetime that you and I live. Let me ask this for a moment. What kind of dreams do you have for yourself in this coming year? What kind of dreams do you have for your family in this coming year? What kind of hopes and dreams do you have for your friends in this coming year? And then could I ask us this? What kind of visions do you have for them and for future generations that may last beyond your lifetime? Like, what kind of vision do we have for our nation, for example, or for this church, or for our community, or for our schools? What could we be open to that God might stir up inside of us that would be way beyond the life that you and I live? Now, I'm not asking for a hand. I'm not going to make you stand up or declare it out loud. I just want to ask you in your spirit, would you be open to the possibility that God is placing a vision inside of you? You know, family dynamics are interesting, aren't they? If I have to convince you of that after Christmas, there's not going to be any easy convincing. But I heard about this guy who got this T-shirt for Christmas right here. Now, I'm not that guy, just want you to know. But if you want to know where you find it, I've got the address online, okay? But I want to suggest that this might be a better line of T-shirts. In fact, I think this would sell for sure if we made two shirts that came in a package, and one of them says, just listen, and the other one says, please fix it. Have you ever known folks in relationship where they just cannot seem to get that worked out between them? Like, you want them only to listen, and they keep trying to fix it, or they're fixing it, and that's not what we want, is it? Wouldn't it be super fun if you could just wake up in the morning and that significant other in your life would just tell you what they're expecting, listen to me, or fix it? Now, I know that there are some who will say, well, if he loved me, he would know. Can I tell you the truth? He loves you. He doesn't know. Sometimes we don't know what God's plans are for us either. But he tells us very clearly what they are. Jeremiah chapter 29, one of the most beautiful verses in all the Old Testament. In fact, this would make a great memory verse for a lot of us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for what? Evil. That I may give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. God has a path and a plan for you and me that is for good and not for evil. And I cannot emphasize this enough, because so many people have this mistaken idea that God is just waiting for you to step out of line so that he can punish you. That's not God. God's longing, God's desire for you, for me, for all, is that we would experience his goodness in this life. God's plan for you is good. That evil stuff comes from the other guy. And you know, for years, I would quote this verse, and I had the order of the next words in reverse. I would say, to give us a future and a hope. And a good friend came to me and lovingly said, I think you've got those in reverse. And I did. And there's significance to the order of them, that I want to give you, God says, a hope and a future. Let's say it together, a hope and a future. Why is it significant to have those right in that order? Because there's a lot who think that the future, we've all got one, that the future is going to be just as awful and terrible as all these past days. But what God is saying, I want to give you a hope with that future. That's significant. God wants to give to you and me a hope with our future. Sometimes he speaks to us in dreams. Sometimes he speaks in visions. What he goes on to say here is that when you start looking for me, when you choose that path to seek out my good and a hopeful future, then call on me, pray to me, come to me, and I will listen and I will be found. Prayer is the life source and our connection to God. God wants to speak to us in prayer. So often we think the prayer is only us talking to God, but prayer oftentimes is God speaking back to our spirits. Who can talk on a cell phone? Raise your hand if you can talk on a cell phone. If you can talk on a cell phone, you can pray. See, there's no magic, mystical words. It's just your heart connecting with the heart of God. Who can worry? Anybody? Am I the only one? If you can worry, you can pray, because that's negative meditation on something. And prayer takes us to a place of saying, God, I don't want to handle this on my own. And God says, you don't have to. And in our prayer life, we take those things that are bothering us or breaking us, and we hand them over to God. Now, I was working on this message a few weeks ago, just before the Pope had made his declaration about the Lord's Prayer. And I didn't really know that that was going to come into play, but I want to tell you that there is something to what he was saying, because over the years I've had some folks who have said, well, is it true that God would lead us into temptation, so that's why we have to pray, don't lead us into temptation? Well, actually, the Lord's Prayer is written in a declarative sense. Like, I'm going to declare these things about God. And the rendering of it would look something like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're declaring that your name is hallowed. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You give us this day our daily bread. You forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You lead us not into temptation, but you deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Does that help? You, Lord, are not leading us into temptation. You're delivering us from evil. It's a declarative prayer about the nature and character of God that Jesus gave to us as a model for prayer, to know how big and powerful and wonderful this God is that we serve and that we love and to whom we pray. Are you open to the idea that God might do something new in your prayer life this year as you make that connection to the God who's not leading us into temptation and constantly moving us away from evil? Can I just give us a little secret as to who it is that leads us often to temptation? You and me. We know the things that tempt us, and we run right for them. James will back me up on that. Now, how can I know God's will for my life? How can I know God's will for my life? God's will is not tied to a location like California or Sedalia, Missouri. Because if it's tied only to a location, every time we leave that location, we're out of God's will. That doesn't make sense, does it? It's tied to a condition of our heart. And one of the things we like to say around here is that there's an intersection of three things. What's your duty? What should you do? What ought you do? What's the expectation? That's one aspect of it, but we can't only do what's expected of us. We also have to be interested in it. Can I tell you that I would love to be able to dunk a basketball like the best of any NBA player? That is never going to happen. But put me on the keys. I've played since I was four. I love giving that back to God. Interest is a huge part of God's will, duty and interest, but there's got to be one more point, and that's delight. Like, what just brings you joy and pleasure back to the one who created you? Like, the moment when you are in that place and you're just, ah, I was made for this. And many of you know what I'm talking about. Just that simple awareness that God wired you in that way. And that is the sweet spot of God's will for you, where interest and duty and delight all converge. Now, I have a memory verse for us. Would you be interested in memorizing a verse over the next 4 weeks? Got 4 weeks, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. This is what it says. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now, what I love about this is that God's promises, and they're all throughout Scripture, they are yes in Jesus Christ. Like, you don't have to pray, Lord, would you save me? He wants to. He wants to. You don't have to ask for him to save you. He wants to do that already. That's already yes in Jesus Christ. What it's waiting for is our yes. Amen is just the Bible word for yes. It literally means so be it. Let it be so. And so through him, the amen, the yes, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now, I want to ask us to take that first line and see if we might recite it a couple times. We won't have it by memory, but we're going to hand you a card at the way out, and you can put it somewhere significant. And in 4 weeks, hopefully we'll have that one as a part of our spirit. Here we go. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. We'll stop right there. Let's say it one more time. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. That's a really good start, everyone. And he's just awaiting our amen. Our expression of, I want this for my life, because God speaks through dreams, and God speaks through visions, and God speaks through prayer, and God speaks through his word. And when he speaks through his word, all of his promises are yes. Faith is an active trust. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We listen to him, and then we do. Activity. Something is stirred up inside of us. And this story is about that word becoming flesh and living here among us. It's an incredible story. But it's a story that we tell not only at Christmas time, but at every day and year of our lives. Because if we're willing to be open to him and what he wants to do in you and me, 2018 is going to be the best year yet. Amen? So be it. Yes. Let's pray. God, would you help us to take this message home in our hearts, to realize that you're speaking in so many different ways, seeking a heart that's open to listen and to respond. You know the plans you have for us, Lord. Reveal those plans to us so that we can say, I know the plan the Lord has for me. In this season of our life, God, may we draw close to you as we put away the year 2017, as we embrace a brand new year and all the hope that comes with the future that is shaped by you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to take a moment to pronounce a blessing over us today. So would you stand as you're able and then receive this blessing as we go forth from this place. And just want to share with you that Scott had a birthday on the 30th. So congratulations, Scott. God bless you. And today is James B.'s birthday. So let's say congratulations to him as well. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest mightily upon each of us now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's grace. Have a great and beautiful, wonderful week, everybody.